A guy like Sidney Crosby would be very mindful of it, even though he does get heated, and I've seen him yelling and swearing on the ice.
Have you? You've heard him and Patrick Hornquist go beside each other.
Oh, like,
they
yeah.
go. Like, yes. Patrick Hornquist might be the only guy on that bench because him and Gino don't really get on each other. But Sid will come off. He'll be frustrated. He'll start swearing. He'll start screaming at his line mates. And everyone just kind of says, yes, Sidney, yes, yes, of course. But Hornquist, right back at him. So that would be amazing to hear.
I think he'd be cognizant of it, again, for a bit, Noodles. But
bit.
I think you're right. If he's mic'd up every game, there's going to be a game where he's like, I'm losing it here. And and he's going to do it. He's not going to hold back on a teammate, a ref. Like, he's pretty yappy on the ice. Like, Sid gets noticeably agitated or fired up or whichever way you want to describe it. But you can see him talking. And the idea of having access to it, not all of it, but some of it, I think would go a long way.
Yeah.
I mean, yesterday was not a professional event. So, obviously, it's more conducive to guys being mic'd up, joking around, talking, chirping each other. And you may not get that in a truly professional event. But to look back on the match two yesterday, again, the numbers are out there, just monster numbers for TNT. We're joined now by NBC Sports and Golf Channel analyst back on Overdrive here is Steve Sands. What did you make of that yesterday, Steve?
Wait, before we talk golf, were you guys just talking about Sid? Was that Sidney Crosby?
That's right. Yeah.
Listen, as a guy who's born and raised in D.C., as a diehard, absolute, stone-cold, crazy Caps fan, you guys are going to preface our conversation with a conversation about Sidney Crosby?
Well, we could talk about Opie swimming in a fountain after he wins the Cup. We could do that. That would make you happy.
I mean, seriously, fellas, pick another player or organization than the Sidney Crosby. My God.
That's a tough segue. We were talking about just having guys mic'd up, like how cool it was yesterday having the four guys mic'd up and them interacting. And we were just saying in pro sports, could it be – I think it's the evolution of sports broadcasting. That's the next step. But I don't know if the players – would be willing to accept it. You know the TV networks would do anything for it. They'd pay extra for it. But we mentioned Sid as a guy who, you know, he's pretty conscious of his image, his reputation, but he gets heated on the ice. And if he's mic'd up and he can't necessarily control the fact that people are hearing it, maybe he just lets it fly. And I guess it'll be the same thing. Who knows?
Yeah, but all those cheap shots 87 likes to take at people, little nooks and crannies he does on the ice and all that whining he does, he'd get himself in trouble if he had a microphone on.
Yeah, he's got three cups.
Spoken
he's got
like
three
a
cups,
true
Steve.
Caps fan right there.
Yeah. Okay. I like it.
By the way, I'm sure he's a wonderful guy. And all my buddies who play in the NHL tell me he's all right. But, God, I can't stand that guy.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. If you're a Caps fan, that's a must-hate situation. But in terms of the event yesterday, I don't know what your expectations were going into it, but after seeing it, them playing through the weather and them mic'd up and it came down to the final few holes, we all thought it was great. What was your reaction, Steve?
Yeah, we thought it was great, too. We all watched it. Our whole family watched it in the house for the most part, in and out. I watched basically the whole thing. I thought it was really cool. I wasn't sure exactly how Tiger would be in that spot, mic'd up. You know Phil's going to be loose, and that's great. You know Manning's going to be loose, and that was great. But with Brady and Woods, it's so fascinating in sports how the best are never the loosest in that situation because that's why they're the best. They're so good at what they do. So the talking between Manning and Phil we knew was going to be there. But I thought Brady, even though he struggled so much on that front nine, I thought he handled himself very well. And I thought Tiger was great, talking as much as he did. And I agree with you guys. I mean, miking up athletes is so great. It brings people closer to the ice, to the field, to the court, to the diamond, in this case, to the course. And I thought that's what made the show so good yesterday, is that the four of those guys giving each other the needle was pretty good.
Steve, during a regular tournament, Tiger probably keeps himself, but is chatter amongst players a commonplace when you're playing in a final pairing on Sunday? Do guys talk and kind of go back and forth a little bit, maybe not making fun of each other, but just kind of actually communicating, or is that just something that was more for yesterday only?
No, they communicate a bunch. They don't needle each other when they're competing, you know, at a real PGA Tour event or a major championship. I mean, they'll give each other a little bit of the needle, I guess, but nothing like yesterday. The guys will talk a lot coming off of the tee, going to their second shot, as long as the previous hole wasn't a crazy big number and the drives are in good shape. You'll see a lot of those guys kind of chatting for a couple hundred yards before they, you know, get into the fairway and get into their zone to hit their second shot. But nothing like it would be like what we saw yesterday. And the problem with miking guys up, we've tried this with the PGA Tour before. The guys don't want to do it. And we ask the guys and we tell the guys, and they trust us. They know us. They know our people are not going to, you know, screw with them or make something come out that's not good. The problem is that it's never been done in golf at the highest level, whereas in football, you know, NFL Films has guys mic'd up under their pads all the time, and they know that they're going to use that audio at some point. But in golf, for some reason, the guys just aren't really into it. They don't want all those conversations with their caddies to be made public. Not that they're just destroying other players. They just don't want those conversations to be made public. So hopefully that changes here in the next few years, but we've tried it before, and the guys have always been kind of down on that. And I don't blame them. It'd be nice if they tried it, though.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the next step. That's the evolution of sports broadcasting. We just got to break through a threshold here. As for Phil Mickelson, no one's surprised by his general demeanor. He's a gregarious guy. He's a fun-loving guy out there. He's morphed into that as he's gotten older, and clearly still a great player. But I thought, as a golfer myself, I was fascinated by him explaining shots, and it gave me a vision of him in the booth if he ever wants to do it. I mean, he's an all-time great. He's got hundreds of millions of dollars. He can play on tour and play in majors probably for another 15, 20 years if he wants to. But could you see Phil Mickelson in a booth at some point in the future?
I don't, because of what you said about the money, and he doesn't want to work. Why would he want to work? He doesn't have to work. He is an all-time great talker, communicator, explainer of the game. He would be as good an analyst as anybody who's ever been an analyst in any sport at any time. And if he didn't play golf, if he was Phil Mickelson in football, basketball, baseball, or hockey, or tennis, maybe not tennis, but the four team sports, then he would go right into the booth right after he's done, like Drew Brees is going to do right after he's done, you know, that kind of thing. But because he plays golf, you know, it's you know, the old saying, it's a game of a lifetime. I mean, Phil's going to be making money playing golf at a high level for a long, long time. He's going to be 50 in a couple of weeks, and he's going to be playing well into his 50s. There's no reason for him to go into the booth and have a quote-unquote real job, but I agree with you. He would be an all-time great analyst, and you saw a little bit of it yesterday. Not only is he smart, but he also feels as if he's a know-it-all, you know, that kind of thing. And he
right.
doesn't mind laughing at himself, being self-deprecating, and also explaining things to not only viewers, but guys like Tom Brady and Peyton Manning on what the correct way is to hit a shot. So no question, he would be fabulous in the booth. And I know that we are going to try at NBC, and I'm sure CBS is going to try as well. But I would doubt, unless somebody just backed up the Brinks truck, I would doubt that he would go to the TV booth.
What would he say if he was analyzing Tiger Woods off the tee yesterday? Because that's been an area when Tiger's not right. You know, he can kind of spray it around off the tee, always great on the recovery and the irons and the putting and everything else. But his tee game yesterday was as smooth as we've seen it in forever. Has this break been good for Tiger?
The break has been good. He's healthier. His swing looked good. He's not swinging nearly as hard or with the swing speed as he would at a PGA Tour event. I think Phil would probably say the swing looked good, swing looked sharp, hit every fairway, but the fairways yesterday were as wide as you can possibly be. You would never see fairways that wide on the PGA Tour. The tees were moved up a little bit on a few holes, and it wasn't a Thursday through Sunday at a PGA Tour event. So I think Phil would probably publicly say, hey, man, you look fantastic, and privately say, let's see that under the gun. And yesterday wasn't really under the gun.
With Steve Sands from NBC Sports and the Golf Channel. So if Tiger and Phil, if they're out now, if they've done their two, and now we move on to the next layer of players, For me, Koepka's got to be in the next one. Koepka would have to be. I would go Koepka and Justin Thomas and then worry about the other two once I've established those two. If you could pick or you had to pick two new golfers to be included in the next one, who would you pick, Steve?
Absolutely, 100% those two, Koepka and Justin Thomas. Not only because they have the horsepower and they have the resume, but also they have the ability to get in your face. Justin yesterday I thought was fantastic on the course, kind of ribbing the guys and explaining what was going on. And Koepka clearly has the game, but he also, when he allows himself, like when he's playing with friends at home, in the Jupiter area. You guys may or may not have heard the story with Michael Jordan. He and Jordan playing with each other, talking smack. I think Koepka and Thomas would be amazing additions to a guy like Mickelson on the course as far as talking smack and having some fun at a charity event like that. Those would be the top two guys. I agree with you.
Steve, how do we feel about no crowd noise? I know different sports, they work differently. I heard German soccer, I thought it sounded amazing with piped-in crowd noise. PGA Tour is coming back in a couple weeks. There will be no roars because there will be no crowds. Do you think broadcasts should artificially create a little crowd noise when good things happen on the course?
You know, no, I don't. No? That fake noise to me, man. If we go back to what we were talking about at the very beginning, you know, just imagine a Stanley Cup playoffs this summer with no fans in it. It's going to be bizarre as it is. It's not going to be the same. It's not going to feel the same. It's not going to sound the same, obviously. But to pump in fake noise, God, I don't love that. I don't like sports to begin with, the idea of it without fans. But I understand, obviously, in these times we have to have them. But the thought of pumping in fake noise, I heard Joe Buck say that about Fox with football. I don't know. You tell me, fellas. I mean, the Stanley Cup playoffs are going to be bizarre. The PGA Tour is going to be bizarre. The NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, whatever the game is, the NBA, it's going to be bizarre without fans to begin with. I think we'd be making it more bizarre from a television standpoint to pump in noise that's not authentic. Artificial noise sounds bizarre to me. I don't know. You tell me.
I think it makes the broadcast more realistic.
Yeah.
Because I think it'll be more, like, I understand, don't pump it on the course, don't pump it in the arena. But for the viewer at home, I think the broadcast would feel more natural if there was a little background noise
even though you see nobody behind the glass.
100%. I was skeptical too, Steve. I urge you to find the telecast from the Bundesliga this weekend. It was spectacular. It sounded normal. Like if you're not in the building, right. It's a viewing experience.
Right.
You're watching
sure.
from home, and it's not. They're not blaring, you know, like whistles, and it's just like a humming in the background that sounds like the natural crowd whenever you see a soccer game. I thought it was perfect, and I would urge people to do it. Maybe you don't need it for golf.
Even though the stands were empty.
Yes, even though they're empty, because when you're watching from home, you're not seeing the upper bowl anyway, right? You're seeing the glass, around the court. It's going to be different for sure. But it's more of just a comforting sound where you're like, okay, this is what I'm used to hearing as a background sound during a sporting event when I'm sitting on my couch.
Right.
And that's exactly what came out of this weekend in Germany, I'm telling you. Find it, and I'll guarantee you'll be like, wow, that feels right.
I'll check it out. I'll tell you one thing that's interesting. Like it's almost like inside baseball for fans who are listening up there in Toronto right now. But like some other announcers and I who I'm friends with, you know, I do the Olympics, so speed skating. I do mostly golf on NBC and Golf Channel. We're all wondering, with no fans, are we going to get in the way of the action? Like, I've talked to friends of mine who do NBA, who do the NHL. You know, imagine Doc Emmerich up there screaming and yelling and talking as puck goes from stick to stick to stick, and the players can hear him.
Right.
Normally you can't hear him because of all the noise in the arena, or Kevin Harlan doing the NBA, or those of us who do golf. It's a quiet game to begin with. Without the fans there, the ambient noise, they might hear us, you know, and that's going to be bizarre. But from a viewing standpoint, I'll give it a shot. I'll go find that on YouTube or online today, and I'll have to listen to it, because to me, I love the authentic nature of sports so much, and I love the crowd noise so much. Without the crowd there to make it fake, I guess, for the television viewing experience. I guess, you know, I'll have to listen to it. I'll get back to you guys on that. But okay. Right now, I would need to be sold on that. But you guys sold me on it. I'm good with that.
Give it a shot. Give it a shot, Steve.
Homework assignment.
Yeah, there you go. You got some homework courtesy of us up here.
Well, I need to do something because I haven't worked in 10 weeks. So that's
there
right.
You go. Well, you'll be back out there sooner than later. It's always great catching up with you. Thank you, Steve.
All right, fellas. Be good. And by the way, two words for you. Go Caps.
Yep, we knew it. As always, there's Steve Sands from NBC Sports and the Golf Channel. I totally agree with you, MJ. I thought it was perfect. Perfect what the Bundesliga did.
They had in Germany is like, I think they kind of CGI superimposed like banners and ads into the empty seats. Yeah. So you didn't see the empty seats right at pitch side. You saw like a computer graphic that said whatever. Yeah. Coors Light.
It's just and so it's a humming sound.
You watched the first ones a couple of weeks ago, and they felt different. They felt like a practice game. Yep. They felt weird watching on TV. Like you're watching the sport, and if you love the sport, that's cool because it's a real contest. But it still felt strange.
Training.
I thought
camp.
Watching this weekend, it felt real, and that was the desired result. I'm assuming.
Exactly right. That's how I felt. I don't expect everyone to agree. I mean, some people aren't going to like it. That's fine. But myself. Watching from home, I watched when they opened up a week ago, and it felt like we were watching a scrimmage at training camp. And you could hear them talking, you could hear the sounds of the players, like the foot off the ball and the sliding in the pitch and all that kind of stuff, which is like there's an element of that that's cool, but not for 90 minutes. Like I'll check in on that for a minute or two, and then this weekend, one of the telecasts anyway, they included some background noise, some basically it's artificial, but this is the analogy I would use. If you go for a massage is incredible, but a massage with some music is even better. And it's like, it's
true. Is that where we're going with this?
It's Bobby, 100% true. The Bob Kraft special. Talk to Bob. You go down to the Orchids of Asia. If you're in there with no music, it's like, okay, this is still a pretty good scene.
It's awkward, yeah.
But like, a little bit of background massage music. You need it, right? You have to have it in there.
Yes, yeah. You get whatever you need, Hayes. You take whatever
that
you
analogy,
need.
Like,
not
I
that I know from
mean,
experience, but you know what I'm saying.
You're right. It's awkward if it's quiet and it's like that intimate that you need something as a distraction. That's what you're saying.
It's just,
I get
it's a
that.
Filler. It's a filler. Yeah. The massage is great. Sports are great, but a little bit of sound. And we're talking about it from the viewpoint of watching from home. We're on the couch.
Exactly.
Right.
We're not in the building. We know there's no one in the building.
I think it's going to be tougher for me and MJ. Like, our timing and that, like a goal goes in.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you wait for the crowd to kind of dictate what's going on. And, you know, Gord and Chris and Mudrick and all of the guys who set us up, they usually will leave a hole for us to jump in. Well, there's going to be nothing but holes, you know, because there's going to be no artificial crowd, I believe, in the building. So we're going to have to figure out our pacing. That'll be a lot tougher, I think, for us to call games.
Well, I don't think you'll be between the benches, but if you were, that would be awkward because if you're reviewing a play and some guy, like let's say when McDavid burns Morgan Riley and Riley's skating back to the bench past you and you're like, oh my God, Morgan Riley, like you'd carve it.
Roasted.
You'd have to roast
that
him.
Game. I was the guy between the benches.
There
that
you go.
Night.
He wouldn't hear you. Like, you know what I mean? Now you could hear a pin drop at first, but because it was McDavid, there was like an ambience. I was in the building for it. There was life. Because it was like it was wow, what a goal, and it's McDavid. I can't believe it. Yeah. But if you're calling that without anyone else and everything else is quiet and you're just destroying Morgan Riley,
yeah, it's
that's
tough.
That's tough.
I agree.